Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to What to Read Next, What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. It's so great to be back.
So happy to have you back. So the last time we spoke was in 2020. And right before that, you were actually just releasing Today, Tonight, Tomorrow. And so you're on the verge of releasing your first adult romance. And so ever since, there's now three of them. There's a couple of YA books out there. So tell us where you've been up to.
Yeah, it has been a busy few years, for sure. It's hard to even remember what it was like to release a book pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
In a world where virtual events were not the norm. I did do that, you know, what was that, 20, 30 years ago? I'm like, no, it was only five. So I have been very, very grateful and very fortunate that I've been able to release both adult and YA romances, romantic comedies over the past few years. So after Today, Tonight, Tomorrow, there was We Can't Keep Meeting Like This, which was a summer rom-com about a girl whose parents were wedding planners and a guy who worked in catering. And then I also had See You Yesterday last year, which was a time loop romantic comedy set in college. And then on the adult side, The X Talk was my adult debut, which is a romantic comedy set in the world of public radio. And then I stuck around the journalism world for Weather Girl, which came out last year. That was a romantic comedy about a meteorologist. And then my upcoming book, Business or Pleasure, is about a ghostwriter and an actor. So I've been like lovingly slash jokingly calling this my women in journalism doing unethical things trifecta, really putting my journalism degree to good use.
Yes. So you're giving us like different careers of what to do with your journalism major. You're like, you can be a ghostwriter and sleep around with your subject matter, or you can fake to be an ex-boyfriend and have a podcast, you know?
Just I feel like I'm setting the expectations like exactly where they should be for recent grads.
Yeah. And then you can find your happily ever after too. So it's a win-win-win.
Yeah. And you know what? I met my husband at my college's student newspaper. So there's some of Write What You Know in there too.
There we go. I think you just need to do college newspaper and have your meet here, you know, elevated to 10 times or 100 times over, you know. And have like another book coming up. So more journalism. I like that niche, you know. Touching the celebrity niche now.
Thank you. That one was a lot of fun to do. I wanted to do something a little bit different. So in Business or Pleasure, I can give a quick pitch of that. So it is about a ghostwriter who has a terrible one-night stand with a C-list actor. She has no idea who he is because he is not in anything that she has seen. And then she learns that she has been hired to work on his memoir. And as they are working together, the truth slowly comes out that their night together was not as wonderful as he thought it was. And maybe she will give him some lessons in the bedroom. And their relationship just kind of gets more complicated from there. But what I was really drawn to, because I love reading celebrity romances, but the majority of them are always about these like A-list, super hot, suave actors. And I was wondering how I could put my own spin on it. And I was like, what about someone who just makes their living going to cons and posing for photos and doing autographs? Like, maybe this is the celebrity that she's going to end up being head over heels for by the end of the book. But I just thought that would be a fun dynamic to explore, and one that I hadn't read before. And always when I'm thinking about tropes, like, celebrity and normal person is definitely a trope. I'm always wondering how to kind of do something a little different with it.
I love it. I love the fact that you put your spin on it. At the same time, you give a sense of another way of looking at it, because I think celebrity culture, like you mentioned, it's like A-list stars, like too hard. There's a disconnect. There's a power dynamic. And when you look at a C-list star, you're like, well, they're just like us, you know. Like, they're not doing anything crazy. Like, that's their job, but they're not being followed by paparazzis. They don't have this like fame is taking over their life, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
I also love that you write some Jewish joy, because I feel like that's something that it gets, we see a lot of trauma in the Jewish experience, but the joy part, the falling in love and the experiences, just brings another layer to the experience. So talk to us why it's important to bring that, the joy aspect of it.
Absolutely. So I've mentioned this a few times in interviews over the years, because when my debut novel came out in 2018, which was only 5 years ago, yet it seems forever ago, I had not read very many contemporary novels with Jewish protagonists. And I grew up reading, when I read Jewish protagonists in books as a kid, the only books I read were Holocaust books. Mm-hmm. So for the longest time, I just thought, well, this is the only story that we have to tell. Like, it's just, our story is one of tragedy and there is nothing else. Mm-hmm. And obviously that is not true. I wanted to read, what I really wanted to read were just books about neurotic Jews living their lives and having anxiety and falling in love and, doing questionably ethical things in their journalism jobs. And there just weren't that many of those. So I really made it a point after my first book was published and I started hearing from Jewish readers that I didn't feel like I could write a book without a Jewish protagonist, because it wouldn't feel authentic to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not someone who, I am largely non-practicing. I grew up, I was Reform and like fairly secular, but there's still something that I feel really strongly about in connecting with other Jewish people. And the idea of writing a character, a main character who wasn't Jewish, I feel like I don't know how to do that, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I think like as we, books are being banned and all different things that's happening, I think it's important for readers to encounter these books and to understand they can see themselves in books, and they can see themselves not just in the trauma, not just in the whole, the despair and sorrow, but they can see themselves like having fun and finding joy. It's just like, queer coming of age stories where being queer is no longer an issue. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, I'm admitting like you can live a bigger life, that it's like we're going to see have that aspect. And so representation matters. Like for me, I'm Latina. And so being Puerto Rican, I love reading books about characters featuring some of the Puerto Rican-ness. And so my culture, even though we might be different, might have different aspects of it, it's really nice to see that. And it's actually, it reminds me, it was like, oh, I can learn something from that character, or I can take that idea and I can actually apply it to my life. Being neurotic, having anxiety, giving okay to have that, it doesn't make you this bad person that our head might be telling us.
Oh, right. And I think there's something to be said just for that casual representation, right? Like, you just want to see people like you living their lives, having struggles, and then just overcoming them and thriving.
Yeah.
They're like, that's so, so valuable. And it's so crucial that everyone is able to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, so keep doing what you're doing. all right, let's talk some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes. So one of my favorite books lately is a YA debut. It's called The 7% of Roe Devereaux by Ellen O'Clover. And it is one of my favorite books that I have read in recent memory. And I will pitch it, but I don't think I can properly do it justice. So it's a YA romantic comedy about a STEM girl who creates an app based on MASH, you know, like that old game that you would play. So she creates an app based on MASH for her senior project. And it matches, like it actually can predict based on a survey, like where, you know, are you, where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, what your job is going to be. And it matches her with her former childhood best friend. You know, it says that this person is her soulmate. And the two of them wind up fake dating to kind of prove that the app is working. And meanwhile, she's kind of getting involved in these shady business dealings with the app. There's a lot of really interesting stuff about psychology, you know, as the app is trying to predict you know, factors about their future. So it's this really high concept book, but it's paired with this absolutely gorgeous writing. Like I just wanted to live in this book forever. It is so stunning. It's set in Colorado and you can just feel you're there, like the atmosphere and the mountains. It is just incredible. So yeah, 7% of Roe Devereaux by Ellen O'Clover.
Oh my gosh, I'm adding this. You had me a MASH. We had that game in Spanish. It's a little bit different. It was like this whole complicated game, but it's predict your future, you know? So it translated not just to American culture. We also had it in Puerto Rico too. So yeah.
That's a, what was it called?
I don't remember. I just remember having the paper because we had it. It was like a paper like origami thing that you just did. You did it like a couple, you move it around a few times and then it will just predict something else and it predicts something else.
Oh,
It was like
yeah.
this
Like a little like
complicated.
cootie catcher
Yeah,
or
I think so.
that was what we called them here. I have like a ton of different names.
Yeah. So awesome. Rachel, tell us where you can find you online.
Yes, so I am on Instagram at r lynn lynn underscore solomon solomon, and my website is rachelsolomonbooks.com.
Thank you, Rachel, for being on the show.
Of course, thank you, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.